great work by our OP Reliant teams tonight, who responded to over 70 street and house parties and other unlicensed events so far. Most people understand why we are doing this. Stay safe. Don't risk spreading the virus. Oh, God.
Lockdown reduced the spread by keeping people apart, easing risks of return to high numbers of cases. Cases being low now guarantees nothing about what the numbers could be if we are careless. I heard there were a shitload of fines issued. Are these people insane? This is going to drag on and on if people don't cooperate with rules that are in their own interests. It's so unfair to people who are complying and unfair to our kids starting school soon. Welcome to the Bedwetters podcast. Just reading a tweet there from Brum Police and also the comments below it, talking about how they've broken up 70 street parties of people exercising their democratic and human right to get together and actually celebrate something. And then the bedwetting replies in Twitter below. If you want to go over there and have a little bit of a look and a chuckle, why don't you type in at Brum Police in Twitter and see what they've been getting up to. But don't worry, guys. Good news over in Ireland at the moment with our renegade absolute hero of a scientist, Dolores Cahill. Check this out.
I'm here to give you information, and I want to be held to account. If my information is wrong, I will correct it, and I'm asking you to do the research and find out for yourselves. So I'm going to tell you very briefly three things: who I am, and that there is really good news about COVID-19. Number two, if this good news is true, what changes should we be making in Ireland and in the whole world? And number three, that Ireland is actually leading a movement in the whole world to set these changes on fire.
So this is Professor Dolores Cahill, who, among other things, her field of expertise is high content protein and antibody arrays, immunology, autoimmunity and cancer research, diagnostics and companion diagnostics, and a load of other stuff, believe me. I found that out on Innovative Medicines Initiative, and she is talking at the COVID Worldwide Wake Up protest in Dublin. You can find this video on YouTube if you type that into YouTube, and this video was published on the 23rd of August 2020.
COVID-19, and this is wrong. So we need to choose truth, choose freedom, and tell them no, this is wrong. Is that it is a coronavirus, but the death rate when it was announced is 4,200 out of 7 billion in the whole wide world. So that means from December 2019 to the 11th of March 2020, 4,200 people died. So every death, of course, is a tragedy. And every unnecessary death is not just a tragedy, but it's almost a crime. And why we're here today is to say there has been unnecessary deaths, and we want to make sure that in this flu season, in the winter of 2020 and 2021, there will be no more unnecessary deaths. And this information has to get out. So truth and freedom. So the real figures of death in Ireland is there is one death under 25. So, and that looks to be someone of the age of 17. So there is therefore no justification for the schools to be closed. Michael Levitt, Nobel Prize winner, said that all of the deaths are people with either one, two or three underlying conditions, and they would have died in a month anyway. So therefore, people who have died, there are less than 20 people in Ireland who died in the whole 6 months under 55, less than 110 under 65, and 1,100 out of the whole country. but it will be 10 to 20 times more people that will die because of the lockdown, not because of COVID-19. So we have to end the lockdown.
Now, although I agree with Dolores Cahill when it comes to ending the lockdown and all that sort of stuff, I do get a little bit worried about the fact she said there's been 4,200 deaths in the whole world through coronavirus. And I tried to research that, tried to find out where she'd got that figure from, and I really couldn't find it anywhere. Funnily enough, though, I did find a newspaper article saying that she'd been asked to leave the EU Council about pandemic stuff and bits and bobs because of her views on COVID-19. They were saying it's really, really dangerous. I would say you could go over to YouTube and watch that video now, but YouTube have probably taken it down. Thanks, guys. But one point she did make was about the amount of people who are going to die because of the lockdown. And I've just got this from Cancer Research UK. Over 2 million people will be waiting for cancer screening tests and treatments. On this page, we've got a picture of Victoria, who is a PhD student who normally works in lung cancer research, but since the pandemic has returned to the front line as a doctor at the Christie NHS Foundation Trust in Manchester. Listen to this, guys. COVID-19 has placed a huge strain on cancer services in the UK. It's been felt in areas of cancer care, from screening and diagnosis through to cancer treatment, as we've blogged about before. And new figures have revealed the sheer scale of this disruption, estimating that over 2 million people in the UK are waiting for screening, tests and treatments since lockdown began 10 weeks ago. This was from an article on June the 1st, by the way. Our chief clinician, Professor Charles Swanton, has seen firsthand the devastating impact this pandemic is having on patients. Delays in diagnosis and treatment could mean that some cancers will be inoperable. Patients shouldn't need to wait for this to be over before they get the treatment they need. Cancer Research UK went further. When you break down the figures, delays to cancer screening is responsible for the bulk of the backlog, with around 2.1 million people waiting for breast, bowel and cervical screening. Screening services have formerly been paused in Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland due to COVID-19 and are effectively paused in England, with invitations not being sent out from screening hubs. For every week that screening is paused, 7,000 people aren't being referred for further tests and 380 cancers aren't being diagnosed through the screening programmes. But while the screening backlog is big, potentially the biggest impact on survival is being felt in cancer diagnosis and treatment. There's been a significant drop in the number of urgent referrals for cancer, often reported as two-week wait figures, with 290,000 fewer people being referred for further tests than normal. And can I just say that so far, apparently, we've had over 40,000 people die of coronavirus in this country, but we've currently got 290,000 fewer people being referred for urgent cancer referrals and tests. They go on. This drop is largely because fewer people are going to their GP with symptoms that might be cancer, but we've heard that some GPs are also reluctant to risk sending their patient to hospital for further tests, and some diagnostic services, such as endoscopies, have been put on hold due to the risk of spreading COVID-19. Urgent referrals dropped to around 25% of usual levels in England at the start of the pandemic, but have since started to rebound, with figures at around 50% of usual levels in recent weeks. But for each week referrals stay below 100%, the number of cancer cases that are going undiagnosed will continue to stack up. I mean, it's all fairly depressing, guys, and I do want this podcast to sometimes be a bit of a lifter, but, you know, this is important stuff and we really, really need to look into it. They also spoke about treatment. Around 12,750 people are waiting for cancer surgery across the UK as the number of operations have fallen to around 60% of expected levels. Chemotherapy has also taken a hit, with 6,000 people fewer than expected receiving chemotherapy since lockdown began. Radiotherapy services, we've got a little bit of good news, I guess. Radiotherapy services have experienced the least disruption, with appointments falling by 10% during the pandemic. But it's not great, is it? But the real impact of the service might be masked by the fact that some people have had radiotherapy instead of other treatments like surgery. This estimated that 2,800 fewer people have received radiotherapy because of COVID-19. They finish with the road ahead, and this is where it does get even more depressing. The government has committed to reach 200,000 tests a day in the UK. Remember, guys, these are the PCR tests that give loads of false positives, that make people think that cases are increasing and that there's a second wave happening. So, great, let's increase that testing. It's really helpful. But we've heard from trusts that not everyone who needs to get a test is able to access it, and test results are taking too long to come back. We've estimated that between 21,000 and 30,000 37,000 COVID-19 tests must be done each day to ensure COVID-protected safe spaces for cancer diagnosis and treatment. God, that's crazy! This assumes that staff are tested weekly and patients are tested before they come into hospital and potentially when they are there for treatment, but more regular testing will be needed. While testing is vital, we must also be supported by staff having enough PPE and embedding infection control measures consistently. They finish with, staff in hospitals around the country are working extremely hard, and with more testing of staff and patients with and without symptoms, we will have hospitals and centres free of COVID-19 where patients can be treated safely. Oh my God. So they actually think they're going to eradicate this microscopic virus. I mean, that is a first in history. Well, well done, guys, and good luck with that. It's great to know that all the while we were out there clapping for the NHS like a bunch of lapdogs, they were allowing 2 million people to go by the wayside for their cancer screening, tests and treatment. Oh yeah, what heroes. I would like to clarify quickly though, like most people in this country, I do have friends who work within the NHS, and it doesn't take long to figure out that there's not really much going on in the hospitals now. They're empty, there's no one there. Indeed, there was one guy who I saw in the Daily Mail who got into a hospital to take photos of all the empty corridors and stuff like that, and has now had a 3-month prison sentence for some reason. But underneath a picture of an empty corridor, the caption read something like, man takes photo of empty corridor as NHS workers rush in towards to do treatment. It's like, I think we all know the truth behind that, actually. There's no one there, there's nothing happening. And finally, on the NHS thing, I do have a friend who works in a high dependency unit, and her colleagues are the actual true heroes of the NHS. The multi-tiered management, the bureaucracy, the waste, and all that are the things you shouldn't be clapping. And the problem with clapping the NHS and turning them into some sort of religion is it means that it stymies any reform that we need to do to the NHS. And that's absolutely critical that we get it done as soon as possible. So stop clapping and start questioning. It doesn't mean you hate the NHS. In fact, it means you love it. Thank you for listening to this Bedwetters podcast. We are thinking actually about changing the name of the podcast because we would like some people outside of our sort of thought circle to be won over and start thinking, hold on, what is actually happening here? So if you've got any stories that you'd like us to read out on this podcast, but also more importantly, if you've got a suggestion for a new name, you can now email us. So write this down now. You can email us at bedwetterspodcast@gmail.com. I'll see you in the next podcast, guys. I'm keeping them short but frequent for now. We will have some interview people on soon. And if you want to keep yourself sane through this ridiculous period of history, always go over to Toby Young's fantastic Lockdown Skeptics and check it out. See you in the next podcast, guys. It's going to be all about face masks, a trip with my mates to the golf course, and how I avoided wearing a face mask, and a few other anecdotes like that. I'll speak to you soon.